If you ever miss a Young People's Meeting and you would like to listen, these are online on godsacres.org under the Youth tab, 2023 audio files. So if you would like to listen to those are there. So tonight, if you'll see on the board, I have written two words that I would like to discuss with you. They're kind of similar. They both start with P. And they are perfect and permissive. And so I wrote the definitions below them because we're going to talk about God's perfect will and God's permissive will. So perfect means lacking nothing, complete. And permissive means it's permitted, it's tolerant or tolerated, it's optional. And our scripture, we're going to be looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and we're going to talk about an Old Testament Bible character. He was a king, and his name was Hezekiah. To help us understand what is perfect and permissive will, are they the same? Is one more to be desired over the other? Let's look at Hezekiah for just a few minutes. Chapter 21. So he became king at the age of 25. Verse 2 tells us Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of God. God was very pleased with him. So let's talk about some things that he did that was right. His father was King Ahaz, and he was one of the most wicked kings in Israel's history. He led the people astray into idolatry. And so Hezekiah is working hard to get the people back into the right worship, back to God, back to serving God the way that they should. He works with the prophet Isaiah. So the prophet Isaiah and him are good friends during this time. And prophet Isaiah will give him good godly counsel on how to make some of these changes. So one thing that he did, his father, again, King Ahaz, had nailed the temple doors completely shut. So we're not having church, clearly, in the Old Testament. They were not having services here in the land of Judah. So he opened the doors. He reopened the temple, reestablished the Levites, what they were supposed to do. He destroyed pagan idols and temples and altars throughout all of the nation that he was ruling over. People had been worshiping the bronze serpent that Moses set up in the wilderness. Did you know that? They kept it, and then they decided they would worship it. And so he destroyed that. He realized that, yes, that was a wonderful thing that had happened, but they had turned it into an idol. So Hezekiah, he's cleansing the temple. He cleanses all of the vessels that are going to go in the temple. He's bringing things back to the way that God wants it. No wonder the scripture says he did that which was right. He reestablished the Passover celebration. What was the Passover celebration supposed to commemorate? What wonderful thing happened? What passed over? The death angel passed over every house that had the blood applied there before they left Egypt, the captivity. And so because of that, they were to have this occasion called the Passover where they remembered that and they had forgotten. They had completely quit having that. And so he sends letters out across Judah and Israel. And he said, I want you to come. We are going to have a Passover celebration. And we read that this is a celebration. They had never seen anything like this since the days of King Solomon. That's how big it was. Hezekiah is working hard to get people back, to where they need to be. Politically, he's strengthening them. So he strengthens Judah spiritually. He strengthens them politically. He expands the borders. He builds an underground tunnel so that they can get water inside the city in case there ever is a siege. And guess what? There was one. King Sennacherib, he invades Judah, surrounds Jerusalem, and he sends Hezekiah a letter. Judah must surrender, and you must admit the Assyrian gods are stronger than your God. And so Hezekiah does the best thing he can do. He and the prophet Isaiah go to prayer. God, we need help. And during the night, 185,000 Assyrian troops drop dead. Can you imagine the king and the rest of the troops waking up in the morning? We're going home. Never mind. Never mind the siege. Never mind. And that's exactly what happened. God delivered them from this, what would have been a terrible end. And so Hezekiah has been putting God first. Perfect will of God, complete. He's doing exactly what God wants him to do, lacking nothing. Hezekiah, he's on a roll. He has definitely, He's got a beautiful legacy to leave. But then we read in Isaiah chapter 38, he gets sick. Now Hezekiah is only 39 years old. And even in Bible times, that was pretty young. And he's very sick. And Isaiah goes to him. So in those days, was Hezekiah sick unto death. I'm reading Isaiah verse 1 of chapter 38. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Hezekiah was 39 years old. That's very young, like I said. Hezekiah didn't want to die. I understand that. I'm much older than 39, and I'm not really ready to set mine house in order. But that's what God said. That was God's perfect will. Did Hezekiah say, you're right, Lord, that is exactly what I need to start doing. Get this house in order. He did not. Verses 2 through 3. Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And he said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I've walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart. So he's trotting out all the things I've done right, Lord. And he wasn't wrong. And he wept sore. Now, commentators say that Hezekiah didn't have a son. And so it was a grievous thing for a Jew to die with no male offspring. Not only that, but he would have had no successor. He, as the king, would have had no successor. And so that could have played in to the reason why he wept sore. And to die in your younger years, he was by no means an old man. Many of the Jews considered that God must be angry at you when he cut you down. So all of that might have been coming into play when Hezekiah is pleading with God, please, remember all these good things I have done. Now, that was God's perfect will. But Hezekiah pleaded with God, and guess what God did? Verses 4 through 5. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. We are moving from the perfect will of God to the permissive will of God. It's permitted. He's going to tolerate what Hezekiah has asked of him. It's optional. But is it best? So, if we're in Isaiah chapter 38, let's move to chapter 39. And we're going to talk a little bit about what happens to Hezekiah after this event. I have told you so many good things he did. When trouble came, he went right to prayer. Did this continue? And he's now living in the permissive will of God. So let me, another scripture, I'll just real quickly. Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and 25, he rendered not again. That means he did not return. He didn't do anything for God in return for his blessings. Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. What do you think that means? When someone's heart is lifted up, what do you think that's meaning here in the scripture? He became proud. Hezekiah starts to become proud. In his illness, he promised to walk humbly all of his days. Isaiah 38 and 15. But when he became well, his heart was lifted up. Part of this might have been that the king of Babylon had heard he was sick. Oh, now remember, Babylon was a mighty empire. No doubt, probably the mightiest at this time. Worldwide powers. They send ambassadors. We heard you were sick, Hezekiah. Oh, we're come to check on you. And Hezekiah begins to get a little more puffed up. Well, I must be somebody that the king of Babylon has sent ambassadors to check on me in my illness. Oh, come in. It's so good to see you. Let me show you my kingdom. Let me show you my treasures. And Isaiah 39 and 2 says there was nothing in his house, in his dominion, that he showed them not. He showed them everything. This is a potential enemy. Do you show your enemies all your treasures? Hezekiah got proud and he got foolish. And so Isaiah comes and he chastises him. He gets after him. In fact, chapter 39, Isaiah 39, verses 6 and 7, he says, the days are going to come, Hezekiah, that everything in your house, everything which your fathers have laid up, your fathers have worked for, all these treasures they've accumulated, it's going to be carried away into Babylon because of this foolish, foolish thing you have done. Not only that, but any of your, all your sons that you're going to have, they're going to take them away to the palace of the king of Babylon. Now, he doesn't have a son yet. And where he hadn't up to this time of that decision. And we think that might have been important to him. I don't know. I'm a mother, and I don't know about other mothers, but I have to say that if I did something that was grievous in God's sight, and I had a man of God that come to me and said, Sister Sherry, your kids are going to reap because of what you did, that would humble me down right now. It's one thing for me to reap my own mistakes and my own choices, but to know that Natalie or Tyler or Jessica or Whitney are going to reap. And he's saying reap terribly, being taken into Babylon. In essence, a spiritual lesson is they're not going to be saved because of what you've done, Hezekiah. But I want you to think about Hezekiah's reply. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. He was saying, the word of the Lord is good, but it's not going to take place while I'm alive. What has happened to Hezekiah, who was perfect in the sight of the Lord? He's moved to God's permissive will. And now when he's told your children are going to be taken into Babylonian captivity, he's like, it's not going to happen while I'm alive. And so let's go to Manasseh, his son. Manasseh was born 2 years after Hezekiah's healing. Manasseh was born in the time he was in the permissive will of God. I would like to say he grew up in Hezekiah's selfish years, and it shows. He began to reign at the age of 12, and somehow he didn't learn how to love God at all. I'm wondering about Hezekiah's parenting. 2 Kings 21 and 16 says, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other, beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of God. He rebuilds the altars his father tore down. I had read one place where that Hezekiah had repaired the temple and put the gold back on the doors, and Manasseh tears it back off. So Manasseh's coming right behind his father, and he's tearing down just about everything his father ever did. He's rebuilding the altars. He's reinstituting pagan sacrifices. He offers his own children in these sacrifices, in these child sacrifices. And it's believed that he ordered the death of Hezekiah's dear friend, the prophet Isaiah. And does anybody know what, not the Bible, but tradition tells us his death was? Does anybody know how he died according to tradition? The prophet Isaiah. It's believed he was put into a hollow log and sawed in two at King Manasseh's word. Now, after captivity, he was taken into captivity, as was promised. Manasseh came back to God. But the lasting damage he had done to the kingdom was never repaired. It was God's perfect will for Hezekiah to die at age 39. And he didn't want to do it. And we can understand that. We can understand that. But if he had stayed in the perfect will of God, Manasseh would have never been born. Not to Hezekiah, anyway. Hezekiah would not have received that visit from the ambassadors of Babylon and had that opportunity to become proud and lifted up. Somewhere in the line along the line after his healing. He became so proud and lifted up. And I think about how his legacy would have been getting people back to God. The end. But Hezekiah, that wasn't the end. What if Hezekiah had submitted to the perfect will of God? When God says something, a lot of times we just want to say, well, you know, I don't really want to do that. I don't really like that. When God told me not to go to college, I'll tell you what, I didn't really like that. After much prayer, God made it plain that was not my path. And I've told you this before. I often sit down and think, what if? What if? And I'm not saying college is wrong. It was just wrong for me. Not everybody has to die at age 39, but for some reason, that was the plan for him. What if Hezekiah had submitted to God's perfect will? In Jeremiah 29 and 11, and this is not the King James Version, but a very, very well-known scripture. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." This is God's perfect will. It's good plans. They're prosperous. You're not going to be harmed. You're going to have a hope and a future. Now, we can accept that or not. We can go against his will, or we can try to persuade him, "I'd like to do this instead, God." And you know, God will only, he'll only tell us so long, and then he'll let us do what we want. Think about areas of our life. Are they in God's perfect will? Or are we moving to his permissive will? I think about relationships, career choices, job choices, choosing where to live, where to go to church, who to marry, who to hang out with, even the neighborhood you choose. So many choices. God has a plan for us. And I really believe he cares about the little details. I pray before I go to the grocery. Now, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be out of God's perfect will if I buy chicken when I was supposed to buy hamburger. But I do pray that God will direct me. One of my favorite stories, which I feel like I tell my stories over and over, and you've probably heard them all. But when Natalie got into one of the higher grades, I want to say maybe like 10th or 11th, and we needed a, what's the calculator? Yes. Anyway, the nice, more expensive calculators, not your $9.99 dollar store ones. So we didn't have very much money and had been praying about it. They were running about $100 to $120. And I thought, okay, Lord, we got to have this calculator. Thankfully, now I know at the schools, they rent them to students that financially are struggling, but they didn't have that back then. And so I remember I was shopping at Meijer, and I walked by the clearance rack, and I just glanced. And I saw one, it didn't register. Oh, yeah. And I get a little further down, and it was like this voice just kept saying, go back, check on that. And when I went back, it was the version, it was the higher version. The silver version, thank you. The silver version, which would have been $20, $25 more. And I think I got it for $75. And so I was so thrilled. And I know, again, we're talking about God's perfect will. But if you pray about everything, see, that little thing right there that bolstered, that boosted my confidence that God has a plan for every part of my life. And when I get up tomorrow morning, God has a perfect will, and then he has a permissive will for what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm pretty sure I know what I need to be working on tomorrow, but I need to check with God. I've had some days when my list is pretty defined on what I'm going to do, but I prayed. And when I went to bed that night, I'm like, I didn't do any of that. I had a phone call. I had somebody that needed my help. I had a diversion. God's perfect will might be this way. But if we're so driven, we're going to go this way. Not only are we missing his perfect will, we might be getting into some trouble. He does have a permissive will. But we are in God's perfect will when we, according to Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all our heart. And lean not to your own understanding. Dying at 39 didn't really seem to make sense to Hezekiah, did it? That was his understanding. God, I am on a roll here. Have you not seen what I've done so far? I've got ideas and plans. I've got more to do. What are you thinking? Surely you're making a mistake. I didn't read that in the Bible, but human nature being as it is, I'm pretty sure he thought something similar. In all thy ways, you let him be the boss. Acknowledge him. Let his perfect will take place in your life, and he will direct our paths. Now, here's a promise. You ever find promises in the Bible and you just claim them? That one's mine. That one's mine. When you go to prayer, you pray it. God, there's a scripture in here and I'm going to claim that. You've told me all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. We're clearly in the baking soda stage right now. We're clearly in the bitter vanilla stage right now. But I'm going to claim it's going to all come together and work for good. I encourage you, find scriptures that you stand on like that. And you remind God. You remind God. One of your skits with Jacob, he said, I am not letting go of you till you bless me. God, I'm not going to quit praying and quit coming to you until you give me what I need. And so here's one of those promises in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man. You can't even imagine the things God has prepared for those that love him. What God's going to do for you if you stay in his perfect will. Now we got to find it. What's his perfect will? Well, if you don't talk to him, you're not going to know. If you don't read what he's written down, you're not going to know. So you got to read. You've got to pray. You've got to go to church and listen. Romans 12 and 2. Be not conformed. That means adapted to this world. Don't just adapt your desires and your thoughts and your ways to the way the world runs. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let God change the way you think. You've got to have the mind of Christ. When we begin to have God's mind, we start operating in God's will because we understand. So young people, think about the choices you're making. Oh, they seem so little right now. It's just a friend. It's just a girlfriend. It's just this. It's just that. It's just a little procrastination. I'll read my Bible later. It's just a few words maybe I shouldn't say. It's just a few places on the internet I shouldn't go. It's just a few things. It's not that big of a deal. And you're moving from God's perfect will to his permissive will. Does it matter? Will it matter? Time will tell. Unfortunately, by the time Hezekiah perhaps figured out, if he did, all these things had already happened. Manasseh had been born. Babylon had a heads up on the great wealth that was in Judah that they needed to go in there and take. I think about Hezekiah. Let him be a lesson to us. He wanted his way, and God let him have it. But what cost? Not just Hezekiah. Hezekiah's son, no doubt, any children there. The people of Judah were never the same. And eventually they went into captivity themselves. So young people, I hope this has been a lesson to you. The perfect will of God or the permissive will of God. He's going to let you do what you want to do because he gives us the beauty of choice. And he's going to let you. But these are written for examples or in samples, the Bible tells us. They're examples of what to do and what not to do. All right, thank you very much. We'll turn this back to Brother Lucas.
Some outstanding thoughts. As she was talking, the one thing that stood out to me the most was we all have big decisions, as I'm learning, coming up, really, really big ones that seem super scary. But as she mentioned, it's not just the big ones that we need to pray for his perfect will on, it's the little ones. And I believe if we start praying for the little ones, God will open up the doors for the big ones. And so